Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles and turn, please, to Proverbs 31. And one verse is our text verse, and stay in Proverbs 31. We'll be looking at some other verses. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about a virtuous woman, virtuous mother, virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:10 says, in this verse, and it's sort of a rhetorical question, who can find a virtuous woman? Well, that's a question, isn't it? Quite a question. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. These were the instructions, the words of King Lemuel, and the prophecy, verse 1 tells us, that his mother taught him. His mother taught him. I think she taught him not only by verbal confrontation, teaching him by talking to him, but I believe she taught him by example. And that's why he could have confidence in what she was saying and what she was teaching. That's the best kind of teaching, is exemplary teaching. And so virtue is that quality that we think of, that is character, that every person really needs to have. And speaking of women here, it's talking about that a virtuous woman is more valuable than rubies. Now, if you would know the day of the rubies that he's talking about, you would understand that in that day, rubies were more valuable than diamonds. And so place that kind of value upon the rubies when he talks about it. A virtuous woman, a godly woman, a woman who loves the Lord and lives for Christ, is more valuable than these rubies. Rubies were very scarce. They are very beautiful and they are very valuable. And that day they were more valuable than diamonds. Now, on Mother's Day, I think we need to think about a couple of things. Number one is appreciation. We need to appreciate the mothers. They certainly deserve it. And even if they do not totally deserve it, even if your mother is not all she should be, we do have God's command that we're to honor our mother and father. And that doesn't say if they're perfect or if they're always right, if they're always good or any of those things. It says love them and honor them. And so we need to keep that in mind as we think about mothers. And I think also in connection with that, mothers think about the responsibility of parenthood, of being a good mother, honoring the mothers and being a good mother. We learn in verse 11 that she was trustworthy. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so he shall have no need of spoil. Isn't it great when a man can believe that his wife is going to be faithful to him? That she's not going to go out and be looking for someone else just because they have more money or maybe better looks or maybe a greater personality or whatever. They might wind up at the dance hall with him or flirting at work with him or some other area of life where they have that opportunity. A virtuous woman isn't going to do that way. They're not going to put themselves into a compromising situation. All of the years, my mom and dad were married many, many, many years. Not one time ever did anybody ever say that my mother had placed herself in a compromising situation, in any situation. And ladies, that's the way it should be. And also, I think he's saying here that you ought to recognize, you should recognize the headship of your husband. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, not some other man, but to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Ladies, I don't believe you'll ever win your unsaved husband to Christ until you learn to be in submission to him. You say, well, he smells like alcohol and tobacco and doesn't even take a bath often. It doesn't matter. You're supposed to be submissive. You married him. You chose him. And you should be submissive to that husband. Now, if there is physical abuse, then that's a different story, and you may have to move out and that type thing. But the Word of God teaches that a woman is to be submissive to her husband. You're not going to get him right with God if you're not submissive. He's probably never going to come to Christ until you do that. And by the way, there's a lesson here and a warning. Watch out who you marry. Be sure you marry somebody that is a man of God and not just says it. I meet these guys sometimes and we counsel, and I say, "Now, are you saved?" "Oh, yes, I'm saved." "Well, do you go to church?" "No." "Do you tithe?" "No." Are you serving God anywhere in church?" "No." "But you're saved, right? You're a Christian, right? You love the Lord. You don't go to church. You don't tithe. You don't read your Bible. You don't have a prayer life. And you're going to marry him?" Listen, you need to be sure you know who you're getting and what you're getting, and watch who you marry. That's very important. Verse 12 says, "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." It is a contract. It is more than that. It is a commitment between you and that person for a lifetime. And you need to be sure you know who you're choosing. And that's so important to do that. But thank God for women who take care of their purity. I believe one reason that was not a major problem in my life was because of my mother. I knew that she was a pure lady, and I wanted to marry someone like that. I wanted to meet someone like that. And I believe that my purity, and then going all the way over into my life, even to my ministry today, I thank God that I had a mother that was a pure mother, and I believe one reason I'm in the ministry today is because of that. Had she not been, I don't know what I would be. But thank God for a godly mother who lived a pure life, not a perfect life, but a pure life, a life that is talked about here. Motherhood is a blessing. Verse 13, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." Motherhood is a blessing. And we live in a society today where a lot of people don't think that's true, but the Bible says it is true. Motherhood is a blessing. And I believe it's good for a family to determine what God wants them to have, but nobody should look down upon a family that has a lot of children. We live in a society where that's sort of done. That's wrong, my dear friend. God teaches that we're to replenish the earth. And God is, now he didn't say you had to do the whole thing, but at any rate, God teaches we ought to do that. That ought to be a natural thing. You want to have children. And we started limiting ourselves to, well, we can only afford two. Friend, that's really not true. There may be some physical complications and matters where you have to stop there, but I'm saying that motherhood is a blessing. Eve was a mother. Thank God for that blessing. And the scriptures say, in Timothy, Paul was writing him, he said, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing." That does not mean if you have a baby, you're going to heaven. That means that Eve knew that it was going to be through her seed down the road that a child was going to be born. He would be the Messiah. He would take her place on the cross. He would pay her sin debt, and she would go to heaven. That's the sense that he's talking about. Just because you have a baby does not guarantee that you're going to go to heaven. But just think, Eve had children, and then children and children all the way down until that lineage led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, unlike any other birth, the Virgin Mary brought a child into the world. And Jesus loved his mother. We could almost preach a whole message on that. She's also indicates in verse 13 that she's should be a thrifty housekeeper. Keepers at home, motherhood, and doing those things, they're not bad. They're honorable. They're good. And I think that's a very high calling. And I think, quite frankly, one reason we're having the problems that we're having in our society today is we have violated that principle to a great degree for materialism. We've bowed down to materialism. Now, I know that isn't a popular thing to preach, but it's in the Word of God, and I'm going to say it because I believe it to be a principle of the Word of God. But let me just say this to you guys. Don't marry a lazy woman. Don't marry a lazy person. And he indicates that a virtuous woman is working, and she's willing to work and do those things. I'd advise you men to do this. You get you young guys that aren't married yet. When you're over at their house, leave your billfold or watch under the couch. You're sitting on the couch talking. The next morning, drop by about 10 o'clock and say, I've got to pick up my billfold. I left it here. And she comes to the door in a faded robe, curlers in her hair, and looking like she just woke up, and there are dirty dishes in the sink. Get out of there as quick as you can. Just leave. Just don't go back. Never mind pretty. There's a lot more to it than pretty. Favor is deceitful, the Bible says, and beauty is vain. You better look for more than just beauty. You better look. Beauty is not always on the outside, friend. Beauty comes from the inside, in the heart. And a virtuous, godly woman is a beautiful woman before God. In verse 14, he says, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Well, that means she's good at bargain hunting. Now, she may spend $10 worth of gas to drive on the other side of town to find that bargain, but that's all right. That's a good trait. She's frugal. She wants to take care of the family. And she doesn't want to just throw money away. And she is like a merchant that's out buying for his company. He's going to do that. She's industrious. Verses 15 and 17 talks about that. She gets up while it's yet night. She gives meat to the household. She considers the field. She buys it. She has business acumen about her. She makes that part of her business to see that that stuff is done. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She's busy. She's working. She's laboring. She buys well. She buys good stuff. She uses her money well. She doesn't throw it away. And then she doesn't lie about it when she's going to sell it. She's good in those areas. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. That is saying that she works. It is said that a man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. I believe that. A mother, especially if you're a working mother, man, they have to get up, get all those lunches ready, get everything, make sure. Listen, I kept my grandson the other day, and I have a new appreciation for parents. I had forgotten that it does require quite a bit of time. And he told his mother, when he stayed with me, he wasn't going to come back home. I decided he was going back home, but at any rate, he kept me busier than a one-armed paper hanger, let me tell you. We had more fun in McDonald's with the chocolate milk down his pants and on the floor and all of that. I just laughed, and the woman helped mop it up. And I could tell you some other things, but I won't. But at any rate, I want to tell you, a mother's work's never done. She gets them ready for school, does all that, ironing, washing, cleaning the house. And a woman is just always busy if she's a true mother and really doing what she should do. All of those things that have to be done. By the way, my wife has been gone for a week. She won't be back till Friday. I promise you, I miss her. I would make a horrible bachelor. I want mother back home. I manage, but that's all right. Hadn't lost any weight, but I want her back home. Mothers have all kind. It's changed a lot from when my mother was a mother back years ago, and she would milk the cow. We didn't have any heat much in the house. The little gas stoves here, there, and yonder. And I'd eat my breakfast on the cook stove because that was the only place that had some heat. But she'd have a good hot breakfast and get me ready for school and all of that. She didn't have all those conveniences. Now, a guy doesn't say to his fiancée-to-be, he doesn't say, can you cook? He says, can you thaw? Do you know how to thaw? I've been thawing some things this week, putting them in the microwave. And that's not criticizing you. I'm just saying it's a different age. Somebody wrote an article about how's it going to be in our society 1,000 years from now? And in that article, he said women's fingers are going to be a whole lot longer because they have so many buttons to punch. I don't know about that. You can make out of it what you want to. Verse 20 indicates she should be virtuous and kind. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Isn't that commendable? Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. That's just a mother's nature, isn't it? To reach out to the poor, reach out to the needy. How many times has your mother reached out to you when you had a fever, 102, 103, taking that cool washcloth and bathed your face? And when you were crying, took those tears. See, Daddy just can't quite do all of that like Mama can. Mother just has that built-in thing that God gave them to be able to do that. We might say, you know, hey, quit crying and get up and go on. Mama's going to reach over there and wipe that tear away and take care of them. And you think that makes them a sissy. It doesn't. It makes them love their mother. It makes them listen to what she's saying. It makes them know that she really loves them. And it's just their nature to help in trouble. I'm so glad sometimes my mother helped me when I was in trouble. And I'm more glad that she didn't tell Daddy about it. She was such a sweet mother. Sometimes she did, but not too often. She pretty well could settle it on her own. There's nothing like a mother's love, is it? Really, there's not. It's a legend, but the legend goes like this, that an angel came down to earth one day to look for some beautiful things. It was during the spring. And so the angel was looking around and went through a flower garden and found some beautiful flowers and found a rose and some roses and said, "That's so beautiful." And the angel took the rose and said, "I believe I'll take that back to heaven. That's one of the most beautiful things I've seen." And then the angel went on and traveled and found a mother and a baby and saw the baby smile. And the angel said, "I believe I'll take the baby's smile back up to heaven. That's one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen." And then the angel looked back and saw the mother standing there and saw the mother's love. And the angel said, "You know, I don't believe I've ever seen anything any more beautiful than that mother's love, is that mother's looking at that cradle and looking at that baby." And so the angel, as the legend goes, flew back to heaven. And the angel, just before the angel went into heaven, began to examine what the angel had taken back. And the angel looked at the rose, and it had withered. And looked at the baby's smile, and it had turned into a frown. But looked at the mother's love, and it had not changed one ounce. It was the very same. And that's the way it is with the mother. Somebody said, "The only thing I found on earth," or the angel rather said, "the only thing I found on earth that would keep its fragrance all the way to heaven was a mother's love." Isn't that true? Thank God for a mother's love. I had a mother like that, and I thank God for it. Now, there's only one love that's greater than that, and that's God's love. God's love actually surpasses a mother's love. It is greater than a mother's love. Psalm 27:10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Some people have had the unfortunate experience of their mother and daddy walking off and leaving them, one or the other, and sometimes both. But you can rest assured God will never do that. This woman was a social woman with social graces in the right sense of the word. Look at verses 21 and 22. "She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet." She made sure they had the needful clothes. She made sure they were clothed. "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." She made sure that she looked nice. She wanted the children to look nice. I can remember my mother making my shirts out of old flour sacks. How many of you have ever had a mother that did that for you? Some of you younger couples have said, "What?" In fact, you may not even know what flour is, but at any rate, you're still thawing, but at any rate. We'd go to the old Jitney Jungle, it was called, and she'd buy that, and she'd say, "You pick out the sack, because I'm going to make your shirt out of that." And that was the truth. But I never did without food. I always had clean clothes and always had clothes on my back, even though she sewed and made them. And many times I remember seeing her sit at that old sewing machine. She had the one that did like it with your foot for a long time. And finally, she got one of those real fancy ones that you could computer type deal, a FAF or something like that. I don't remember the name of it for sure, but I was so glad when she got that. She deserved it. Later on in life, she was able to do that. But she was, this woman here is thrifty, very unselfish. Not selfish, always put others first, and that's the way she would do that. She was, verse 23, described her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She made her husband somebody that had good reputation. He was respected in the community because of his wife. And she just made sure that that was taken care of, that that was done. As some people say about a successful man, that the woman is the power behind the throne. And many times that's the way. Now, that doesn't mean that she should be a domineering or an overambitious person. And she should not be the power on the throne, but to be the power behind the throne, that's good. Many times they go very unnoticed. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Strength and honor are her clothing. And notice the last part of that verse. She will rejoice when? In time to come. My mother was sort of that kind of woman who was a little hesitant to speak. She wasn't always saying a whole lot, but when it was time to speak, what she said was worth listening to. And that's the idea that God, and that's true for all of us. We should be like that. But she had wisdom and kindness, great virtuous things that should be there. And verse 28 says that she was going to be rewarded. Verse 26 said that. Verse 28 fulfills it. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's the reward. Those are the rewards for being a good godly mother. Your husband's going to say great things about you, and your children are going to rise up and say you're blessed. And I know that if we have a mother like that, we would say amen to a mother like that. It's no problem for me to brag today, though my mother's in heaven, for me to brag on her because she was that kind of mother. And I think if you have that kind of mother, you'd say amen to the very same thing. Verses 29 and 30, I think here's one of the crowning virtues. Of all of these, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And here's that verse I quoted a while ago. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the kind of woman God's looking for. A woman that fears God, a Christian woman. And a Christian woman is a great benediction to her whole family, always and forever. Now, ladies, if you've never come to Jesus, you can never be the mother you ought to be. You just can't do it. You just cannot be the mother you should be. And even after you come to Jesus, you can't be the mother you ought to be unless you're living for Christ. But you'll never be the mother that God wants you to be. You can never be the wife that God wants you to be until you come to Christ and walk with Him. The gospel is given out. The gospel tells you how to be saved. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Mother, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Do you know that you know you're going to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure that you're born again? That would be true of dads here too. Do you know, Dad, that you're really saved? Your children have a right to have a saved mother and a saved daddy. You say, well, I know they're Christian, but they're not perfect and they make mistakes. Well, then you ought to forgive them. Has God ever forgiven you for anything? You say, well, you don't know. My stepmother, my mother was mean and all that. I just cannot forgive her. You ought to go home today and call her. She's not around where you can do it, and tell her I forgive you. God forgives us, doesn't He? And how many times has God had to forgive you of what you've done? I have a hunch, a whole lot of times. And all of our righteousness is plural, or is filthy rags before Him. God's had to forgive us. We need to honor our mothers, show them respect. May I encourage you today to tell your mother you love her, if she's still living and you can tell her that. And let me add this footnote to that. Tell her why you love her. Don't just say, "Mama, I love you." Say, "Mother, I love you because you sacrifice. I love you for what you do." Name what she does. "I love you for teaching me to pray. I love you for reading the Bible to me." You heard Barbara Harvey talk about her mother. Thank God she could say that and say those things and know and remember a mother like that. And we ought to tell them that today. If she's not where you can be with her today, pick up the telephone and call her. You say, "Well, I'm just too busy." You're right. You're absolutely too busy. Pick up the phone and call her and tell her you love her and tell her why you love her. And if she's where you can get to her today, put your arms around her, physically give her a big hug and a kiss on the cheek or on the lips if you want to, whatever you want to do, and say, "Mother, I love you." They're not asking for a whole lot. It's not the fact that you're going to take them out to eat, though that has something to do with it. It isn't even the roses, friend. It's just telling her you love her and why you love her, and that being real and genuine from your heart. And I tell you, they deserve to be loved. Mother, if you're not saved, come to Christ today. Mothers, understand the great responsibility and the great privilege that you have to influence your children and grandchildren for the glory of God. That is a great responsibility. How are you doing? Are you living for God? They're going to follow your pattern. Don't think they won't. They will follow your pattern. They'll follow your pattern. It may take a while for good, but they're going to follow your pattern. Dad, if you're not saved, get saved. Mom, if you're not saved, get saved. Come to Christ today. That'll be the best thing you can do for anybody. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. If you have a mother, and you're thankful for your mother, maybe you might just want to take her by the hand and say, "Let's go up and pray." Or just lean over and tell her that if you're where you can do that. Come to the altar, kneel, and say, "God, thank you for a Christian mother." Sure, they're not perfect. Neither are you. But oh, listen. If you have a Christian mother, you have the crown jewel. If you have a virtuous lady that you can say mother to, you have something of great value. And mother, if you're that kind of mother, you are so valuable. Greater than rubies and greater than diamonds. Father, I pray now you would bless in this service. If there's a mother here that's not saved, I pray that today she'd step out, even on Mother's Day, and trust Christ. If there's someone here who is saved, but they know they're just not really living for you like they should, help them to realize their precious children and others are watching their lives, and help them to make those things right today. We realize the great responsibility we have. I pray, dear God, that you would accept our thanksgiving for godly, good, virtuous mothers, imperfect sinners saved by your same grace that we're saved by. Help us to let them know we love them today. Tell them that. To hug them. To help them. To express why we love them. Lord, we know that'll mean so much to them. May you bless them. Bless our dear mothers today. In Christ's name, amen.